You're listening to Eders.com.
سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش بالله وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, the Jewish community had accused Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam that he was a powerful magician. And the reason for that is the Jews could not digest the fact that a single individual could be given such a vast kingdom and that he would hold such an authority. And therefore, they could not make a distinction between the mu'ajizat, the miracles of the prophets, and the magic of the magicians. And so the easy way out for them was to take Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam to be a very powerful magician, aliyazu billah. Of course, when we look into the Quran, the verses of the Quran in Surah An-Naml, we see that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was a powerful king, also a Nabi, but at the same time a very humble individual. He made an open confession to the people around him to explain to them, and he said this in a clear language, that this vast kingdom that is given to me and these extraordinary powers that you see are nothing but a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that these are the mu'ajizat. And we see in Surah An-Naml the word waqala has been mentioned here, that even Dawud alayhi salatu was salam, who was the father, and Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, their tasbih all the time was alhamdulillah. That alhamdulillah illazi faddalana. They said to the people that all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has given us this fadila, this virtue, that we excel above many of the believing servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are prophets and Allah gives us this merits, Allah gives us this virtue. And so that it's easy for them to understand. Sometimes it can be very, very difficult. We see Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, in his time it was very easy for the shaitan to mislead the people, and they started taking him to be aliyazu billah, the son of God. When he gave life to the dead, they started saying that he is the son of God, aliyazu billah. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam was very careful, and clearly he said this to the people, that ya ayyuhan nas, O people, allimna mantiqa at-tayr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the knowledge, Allah has taught us the speech of the birds, the speech of the birds. وَأُوتِينَا مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. In fact, we have knowledge of everything. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينَ. And this is nothing but the fadl, a manifestation of the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So understand this. And not only could he speak the language of the birds, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam spoke all the languages, the language of the beasts, the language of the birds, the language of the insects. And so here we see that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as in Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam has explained this clearly, so that people understand that he was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, in the ayats of Surah An-Naml, an incident that occurred during the life of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, so that we cover, subhanallah, these incredible, extraordinary powers and gifts and bounties that were given to this man that we understand in Surah An-Naml. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam had the habit of making sure that regularly he would inspect upon all of his subjects, regularly inspecting. Just like a teacher will have his own register and he will call out the names of people, and the students will have to say labbaik or hazir, labbaik or hazir. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was a king, subhanallah, and he had a big register, a very big register. And the register, in the register he had the names of all sorts, all the different species and the comrades of the different species, all their names were there, and it was their duty to say labbaik, that I am hazir. And Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam caught one from amongst the birds that was not present. Now we need to remember that this was also the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to regularly check upon his companions. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a man who wanted to be well informed with regards to the companions that were around him. If somebody was missing, immediately Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would inquire, where is this person? Where is this person? At times Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say to the companions that that person is not here, possibly he is not well, let us go and pay a visit to him. And so this was the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We remember that there was also an African lady who would clean Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam all the time. She would come quietly in the night when there was hardly any individual in the masjid. She would come and she would clean the masjid, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave her that permission. And for a few days Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam noticed that she was not there. Immediately Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, where is she? And he was informed that she passed away. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to her qabr mubarak and he made dua for that lady. And so this is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to regularly maintain a good checkup so that you know exactly what is happening. As a father, it is the duty that he makes sure that he checks up upon all of his family members, especially the children, where they go, what they are doing, how long they are out for. It's not that the father should give them, mashallah, this green card and say, you are 16, do what you want. Go out. And they go out Saturday, Sunday, and you have no connection with them. There is no checking up. That your wife is somewhere and she has not even informed you where she is. And so this is actually the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no restriction. But what we call to control everything in the right manner. To control everything in the right manner. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam would do this. This was also the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from amongst the Khulafa'i Rashid, a Sahabi who was well known for this, was Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. He kept everything under control. The first man who would check upon his governors regularly. And annually, personally, he would go for Hajj and he would make sure that all the governors meet him in Arafat. And that is where the meeting would take place. And during the day, during the night, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala would be covering all the streets, making sure if there's anyone in need, anyone in taklif, in distress, in pain, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab would be there to assist that individual. That is why the famous saying that comes from this great man, Amirul Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, that if a wolf was to eat up an animal, a goat, even close by to the Euphrates River, Umar ibn al-Khattab is responsible for that. Umar ibn al-Khattab is responsible for that. And he would maintain that high level of checking at all times. At all times. And so we also need to understand that the governors that he elected were very powerful governors. Very powerful governors. And he had also elected who? Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. You will find that at times, unfortunately, there are foolish people amongst the Ummah who at times want to disrespect Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. And so be very careful that he is a Sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an elected governor by who? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, and he remained the governor throughout the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. Bhai Shiyo ki dekha dekhi mein Hazrat Amir Muawiyah ko bhi log gali de dete hain. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-aliyy al-azim. And so we have to be very, very careful. So this was Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. Khair, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam doing his register. وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرُ فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدُ. And he said that, what is the matter that I don't see the hudhud? Hudhud. The Quran has named this bird hudhud. In English they call this bird a hoopoe bird. A hoopoe bird. مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدُ. Where is hudhud? أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ. Where has it disappeared? Sulaiman alayhi salam wants to check up. Now someone questioned Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala. From all of the birds that were again the subjects, how did hupu get caught? And how was the hupu bird trapped? And so Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala explains this. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was traveling. And he camped up in a terrain which was very dry. And so he looked around and the jinns were with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said that we are all here, we need water to drink. And so the knowledge that was given to him, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam casually said, call Hudhud for me. Call Hudhud for me. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed these powers upon Hudhud, that the Hudhud can give the precise location of underground water. It will tell you where there is water underground. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is using natural technology and said, call Hudhud, we want water. So the Hudhud would often come and it would tell Sulaiman alayhi salam that this is where the water is, but the Hudhud was never to be seen. And subhanallah, otherwise if the Hudhud was there, then it was the duty of the jinns to excavate and to dig up so that the water would rise up. And so it was a simple procedure for Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Nothing was difficult. Now Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is saying to the other creation, all the creatures that were there, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam would instill that fear also in them. The jinns would also fear Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a great leader. So he said, لَوْعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. It seems that this Hudhud wants to be punished by me. It seems this Hudhud wants to be punished by me. عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا, a severe punishment. Severe punishment. Unless, of course, أَوْ لَيَأْتِيَنِّي بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ, unless it comes to me and offers to me a plausible excuse of its absence, then that is accepted. But where is this Hudhud? And subhanAllah, immediately information was given to this Hudhud. The other birds were there looking for Hudhud. And they said, what are you doing here? Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is calling you. You've had it. You've had it. You better make sure you know what to say to him. And so Hudhud came again, a small bird. And immediately, breathless, came to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And the first thing this Hudhud said, أَحَدْتُ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِتْ بِهِ أَحَدْتُ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِتْ بِهِ That before you say anything, I have come with such information that you have no information of. I have come with such information that you have no information of. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, you have information for me? And Hudhud said, yes. Min Saba, I bring information for you. Min Saba'in binaba'in yaqeen. Binaba'in yaqeen means, I will give you accurate information. Accurate information of the city of Saba. I come to you with information of Saba. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, what is the information that you give me? Now, Saba is a city in Yemen. Saba is a city in Yemen. Another name of Saba is Ma'arib. Ma'arib is another name of Saba. Just like Medina Munawwara, the ancient name of Medina was Yathrib. So another name of Saba is Ma'arib. The capital city of Yemen is Sana'a. The capital city is Sana'a. And the distance from Sana'a to Saba is 3 days' journey. Is a journey of 3 days from Sana'a to Saba. So this Hudhud was flying around in the region of Saba in Yemen, and it decided to come back to give some information to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And so here we also understand a few masail, that if there is something wrong amongst the family members, that someone is doing something that is not accepted, something that is wrong, and if there are certain members of the family that know that, it is their duty to speak out to the main individual, the main person of the family, who may be the husband, who may be the father, so that immediately the problem is sorted. Immediately the problem is sorted. So here we see Hudhud, a bird, seeing something which is wrong in the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So immediately it wanted to give this information to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hudhud came and said, Inni wajadtum ra'atan. Inni wajadtum ra'atan. It is astonishing that what I have seen, that a lady rules over the people there. A lady rules over the people there. Tamlikuhum, that she is the ruler. وَأُوْتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ She's given everything. وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ She has this huge throne, arsh for her also. But khair, it is this lady. And how is it possible for the lady to govern, for her to be the head of state? And she calls herself to be the queen of Sheba. The queen of Sheba. She rules and governs the area of Saba, and everyone listens to her. Everyone. And so Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was listening to that. It is said that the name of this woman that the Quran has not mentioned, Imra'atan, just like in the story of Fir'aun, Imra'atu Fir'aun, Imra'atu Fir'aun. There also it says that the wife of Fir'aun, that is Hazrat-e Asiya. That is Hazrat-e Asiya. And here Imra'atan means a woman whose name was Bilqis. The name of this woman was Bilqis. A very powerful lady. The father's name is Sharahil. The father's name is Sharahil. The father was a human being, but the mother of Bilqis was a jinni. The mother of Bilqis was a jinni. And her name was Balama. Balama was a jinni woman, and that is the mother of Bilqis. The father is a human being, the mother was a jinni. And khair, we've covered this topic, that can there be a relationship between human beings and jinns? Of course, majority of the scholars have said that it would not be right, because this is a complete different makhluk. But however, there are scholars who have given permission, that we find that in the Quran, Allah speaks of the jinns, Allah speaks of human beings, and both have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find the mentioning of the jinn and the ins also in Surah Rahman. And so they have their own proofs, those who say that there is a possibility. But a lot of the scholars say that this should not be permissible for a woman or a man to have any kind of relationship other than the fact that they are human beings. But here we see, of course, Sharahil was not a Muslim. Sharahil was not a Muslim. And Balama, she was not a Muslim. Bilqis is not a Muslim here also. And so we need to understand that we're not talking about individuals who have accepted Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, who is the Nabi of the time. So khair, she has got some connection with the jinn family, but the scholars have mentioned that Bilqis was a human being. Bilqis was a human being because the father was a human being. And reproduction is also with this makhluk of the jinns, and so there is some possibility. And we have covered that. The question here is, can a woman be the head of state? Can a woman be the head of state? Once a lady asked me, when she came to the Islam Information Center, what rights have women got in Islam? I said, why don't you look at Benazir Bhutto? She was alive. And also in Bangladesh, what's her name? Hasina? Huh? Hasina, whatever. Khair. And she said, oh yes. Immediately she said yes. But khair, this was just a quick answer given to her. Can a woman be the head of state? The scholars have mentioned, Mufti Shafi Sahib has given a fatwa, that during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Kisra passed away, the daughter of Kisra became the queen of Persia. She became the queen of Persia. To that, when this information was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَنْ يُفْلِحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ إِمْرَأَةً لَنْ يُفْلِحَ قَوْمٌ. That how can that community prosper who have selected a lady, a woman, to be their head of state? They will never prosper. And so from the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the ulama have given a fatwa that a lady cannot be part of the khilafat system. A lady cannot be the queen, she cannot be the head of state, and that she can't be the ruler in general that governs the entire community of people that are there, or that state. And so the fatwa is that a woman cannot be the head of state. And that is why you will also find that all of the prophets that came were all, what were they? Men. All of the prophets were men. From Adam alayhi salatu wa salam to Hazrat Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa salam. Not a single lady is considered to be a Nabiyya. Khair, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi has given his own opinion, and he is one amongst the many mufassireen that are there. Only according to Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi, he says that Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam was a Nabiyya. Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam was a Nabiyya. But generally, majority of the scholars are of the opinion that only the men folks have been Nabi and Rasul. This is just one opinion of a great Mufassir of the Quran, Imam Qurtubi, rahmatullah alayhi. And so, when it comes to verses where Bilqis, she was the head of state, and that she had a throne, She was a mushrika herself. It is said that the people in Sana Saba at that time would worship the sun, would worship the sun. And so because this element of shirk was there, so this Hudhud came to complain to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. It is said that her throne was such that in length it was 80 yards. In length it was 80 yards. In breadth it was 40 yards. And in height it was 30 yards. And it was studded with precious jewels and gold and diamonds. And it was safeguarded, and she would sit on this arsh of hers, and all her other council and members would be around her. That is how she was. And they would worship the sun. So this is the arsh that we talk about, which is mentioned in Surah An-Naml. And so Hudhud said, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ فَهُمْ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ. And it goes on that they do shirk. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said to Hudhud that you have given me accurate information, and so what I will do, I will use you to go and give her dawat. To go and give her dawat. Now, the shortest letter ever to be written, the shortest letter that is written is by Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Shortest letter, which is recorded in Surah An-Naml. Very, very simple letter. When we were in Darul Uloom, our teacher, one of the teachers did a translation in Gujarati, I remember. And he said, Sidi Sidi Avija Mara Pase Musalman Banine. Our Ustad in Darul Umbari. Allah Ta'alu Alayya Wa Atuni Muslimin. He did a translation in Gujarati. Sidi Sidi Avija Mara Pase Musalman Banine. Khatam. And I still remember this going back in Darlum days. And he said to us, you know, this letter should be put in the Guinness Book of Records, that a great king has written a formal letter which is only of less than two lines of the Quran. Which is less than two lines of the Quran. And so Bilqis was sitting in her palace. Hudhud comes with this sealed letter. And that is why the Quran says, Kitabun Kareem. The tafsir of Kareem here is not noble. Kareem here means a sealed letter. And anything that is sealed is accepted. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his time, he made a ring, upon it was written Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would stamp all of the letters with this seal. It was stamped with the words Muhammad Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was sealed letters that were given to all of the leaders of the world at that time, Qisra, Caesar, and Najashi, and all these individuals that were there, letters were sent. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam said, what I want you to do is just to drop this letter to her and immediately come out. Privacy rules. Immediately come out. Don't do panchat there and look around what is happening. This is basically what Hudhud was told. What I am telling you is just drop the letter, deliver this letter, because you gave me the information. I want to find out. And that is why Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in this ayat kareema, where Allah says, أَحَدْتُ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِتْ بِهِ, that Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam were not given the knowledge of the unseen. Otherwise, Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam would have had sufficient knowledge of what was happening in Yemen. He didn't have that knowledge. And so this letter was written. Now, if you look at the letter, how it was written, إِنَّهُ مِن Sulaiman, that this letter is from Sulaiman. This letter is from Sulaiman. وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. And then this beautiful tasbih of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is there. And then a warning, very straight to the point. Allah ta'alu alayya. Don't put yourself on top of me. Don't put yourself on top of me. Wa atuni, come to me, Muslimin, and be a Muslim. Come to me and be a Muslim. End of the letter. Subhanallah. Simple, to the point. Simple. Don't come on top of me. Don't try to take on Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam. There is nothing there that can defeat the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam. So don't stand in front of me. Allah ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin and come to me as a Muslim. Now the ulama have mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has educated this ummah also that when you write letters, the first thing a person should do is write his name. So in schools you are taught how one should write letters, but the Quran is saying when you write a letter, the first thing you should write is your own name. So immediately that person will understand there is nothing there for an individual to read and then to go into this taklif, this problem of understanding what this person is trying to tell me, who he is. Immediately the first sentence should be that this letter is from so and so. And then Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is written. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim should only be written if that person is a Muslim and you understand that he will uphold the sanctity of the verses of the Quran, then you write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Otherwise, nowadays you'll find that even in wedding cards or in any of the invites, don't write the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That is thrown in the bin. That is thrown in the bin. And be careful. To khair, you write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he would write Bismillah before his name. That he would write Bismillah and then Mim Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see in Surah An-Naml that a reverse style has been taken by Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. A lot of the Mufassireen have mentioned here that actually the letter was that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim was first, and then it was Min Sulaiman. But Bilqis, when she had opened up the letter and she looked at the letter, and because she could speak the Arabic language, so some of the Mufassireen have mentioned that this letter was originally written in the Arabic language, because the Yemeni people were also Arabs. And Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, if he could speak the language of the beasts, obviously he knew the Arabic language also. And so when information was given to him that she is in Yemen, he wrote this letter, according to many of the scholars, it was in Arabic. And so what she did is that when she spoke out to the people around her, to her ministers, she actually said that this letter is from a man called Sulaiman. So she took the name of Sulaiman first, but in actual fact, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam had written Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim first, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded for this ummah the actual words of Bilqis, what she had said. So that is why she said that this letter is from Sulaiman and then Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And so the real method of writing is Bismillah and then your name, and then your name, and then to whoever the letter is addressed to. This is the method. Now just one mas'ala. Can you give a copy of the Quran to someone who is not a Muslim? Mufti Shafi Saab has given a fatwa that you can't. You can't give a copy of the Quran, the Arabic text, to someone who is not a Muslim. And why should you? Why should you? Alhamdulillah, now you will find translations of the Quran in English. So you will find so many translations in the English language. So it is better to give the translation, not the Arabic, because that is Quran. And that you should not give to someone who does not understand adab and who might not uphold the sanctity of the Quran. Yes, if it is a booklet, just a booklet, which has information about Islam, but in that booklet it contains some of the verses of the Quran, the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is acceptance. So that you could give to someone who is not a Muslim, but not the Quran in its entirety, just one whole copy of the Arabic text here and give it to someone, that would not be accepted. But to give a translation, only a translation, that is accepted. And that we should do to give dawah to the people. And so this is again a very important mas'ala that we learn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq inshaAllah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranak rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.